Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Susanna Cahalan's new book about Rosemary Woodruff Leary is The Acid Queen, the psychedelic life and counterculture rebellion of Rosemary Woodruff Leary. It is a portrait of Rosemary and her critical role to Timothy Leary's rise to high priest and her trailblazing role for women in 60s American counterculture. Long overlooked by those who have venerated her husband, Rosemary spent her life on the forefront of the counterculture, working with Leary on his books and speeches and shaping for better and sometimes for worse the media's narrative about LSD. Again, the name of the book is The Acid Queen, The Psychedelic Life and Counterculture Rebellion, and Susanna Cahalan joins us this morning on the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me, Joe. It's a pleasure. I'm very excited to be here.
Very nice. You will be at Merritt Bookstore tonight at 6 o'clock in an event with Ada Calhoun, and we're going to have...
Tomorrow night.
My apologies. Yes, yes. Tomorrow night.
Oh, no worries.
Tomorrow night. 6 o'clock, and we'll be talking. What I was thinking about in today is that Kira Wisner will be with us coming up in just a few minutes on today's show to talk about this event as well as other book picks. So all good stuff. Susanna, congratulations on the book. What brought you to the subject?
Oh, so interesting. So I have been interested in altered states for basically the length of my book writing career. My first book was a memoir called Brain on Fire. And in that, I described my own experience with a prolonged altered state caused by an autoimmune disease of my brain. A very unpleasant altered state, let's say.
Yes.
It was a newly discovered form of autoimmune encephalitis. And, you know, that experience really taught me that so much of our reality is created by our mind and our brain and how consciousness can really be affected. And so I've been really kind of fascinated by the fragility of the self and the idea of kind of how we tell our story, how it's very much shaped by how we see the world. And that kind of influenced my second book, which was about an investigation into the history of psychiatric diagnosis in this country. And both of my two books, I'd had little parts about psychedelics in each book, and I'd had several people kind of pick up on those threads between them and suggest that I start looking into psychedelics for my third book. And so that was kind of in the back of my head. And I was working at the New York Public Library. They have scholar rooms there. And I was kind of thinking about maybe I could pursue a book on psychedelics. And I started going through Timothy Leary's archives at the New York Public Library and became aware of another collection completely not subsumed into Leary's, but its own collection by a woman named Rosemary Woodruff Leary. And I started combing through her files and found just a fascinating woman inside there.
Rosemary Woodruff Leary was married to Timothy Leary, was his wife from 1967 through 1976. This is a woman who is a high school dropout. She is a divorcee. Two times. And how did she meet Timothy Leary? And then where did her work take her from there?
Absolutely. So they met in New York City at a gallery opening. She was already kind of in the movement of the time. She was, as you said, she was married twice before, and her second husband was a jazz accordionist who was very much involved in the beat movement. So she was already experimenting with drugs, with books about mysticism, was very much a seeker. And she met Timothy Leary at a gallery opening, and really they both were kind of smitten with each other. And she ended up going to Millbrook in Millbrook, New York, at the Hitchcock Estate there. And that's where their kind of love affair really blossomed.
Now, as far as the of the partnership between the two, besides a romantic and a marital one, give us a sense of how they worked together ultimately on Timothy Leary's work and her work.
Absolutely. So you know, she was very much behind the scenes. She was editing his speeches. She was very funny. She had a great kind of turn of phrase. So he would often rely on her to give him some of his best quips. She also sewed his clothing. So she really manufactured his image. You know, he went from this kind of Harvard, he was at Harvard before, a psychologist who was fired from there, partially, most likely because of his work with psilocybin, really, and LSD. And so she started really kind of helping him create a persona, and moving away from the Harvard tweeds into, you know, the guru garments, lots of flowing linen, maybe shirtless or wearing no shoes, you know, advising him to grow his hair out long. And she also introduced him to a kind of vast array of literature, especially in the science fiction realm, which he had not a lot of experience with, and that really shaped his philosophies going forward. And, you know, it was a kind of two-way relationship, because Timothy Leary became her guide and really taught her a lot about what he was working on, which is the concept of set and setting when taking an acid trip, is the idea of contouring the environment to augment the experience. And so she became, under his guidance, she became what was called the queen of setting, kind of amazing at helping people orient and ground their trips.
And his, we'll use this word, his difficult view of women had a profound impact on their relationship.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's always important to be mindful of the times in which people were born. So he was born in 1920 and she was born in 1935. So she's younger than him, but they're both older than the baby boom generation. And among other things, he had a lot of the trappings of men of his era. You know, he was the kind of man, she said, that he would kind of put out his hand and expect someone to put a martini in it. You know, he came from that era. But at the same time, you know, they're exploring sexuality. There's the era of free love. So there was a lot of tension and mixed messaging, basically, coming from Timothy Leary that at times was very painful for Rosemary and very difficult for her to traverse. He was a complicated man, to say the least. And I think someone who loved to be loved by the masses, but found it very hard to be loved by the individual. And she, unfortunately, was the one who was loving him individually and got a lot of pain from that experience.
You talk about joining the Millbrook community, and then she strikes up the romance with Timothy Leary. Then how do they get to California? Because they're in a Southern California commune, and ultimately this is where there are drug deaths, and this is brings on police raids, and life gets very complicated.
Absolutely. So it started getting complicated at Millbrook. At first, the community really embraced Leary. I mean, he was a Harvard professor, handsome, charismatic guy. But as the law started, he started to get arrested. He got arrested at the Mexico border. A great number of people started to descend on this beautiful little hamlet, and things started to go sideways. So it started there. There were many raids done by the local police at the estate. And then eventually they were kicked out of the estate and ended up, as you said, in California, where they were met with even more kind of issues from the community and from law enforcement. They were arrested again. They were the subject of many, many raids. Then Timothy Leary ran for governor, which again put the kind of sights on him from the establishment. And it just went downhill from there. And, dodging the law became a huge part of their relationship, and she would say that it was a huge cause of the schism, later schism, in their relationship.
He's convicted on a marijuana possession charge. He serves, it was a 20-year sentence, do I have that right?
He was convicted, so he was two different convictions for a total of around 20 years in prison for marijuana possession, which, you know, to our eyes and ears sounds absurd, but at the time, even I would say good swaths of media thought that this was highly punitive and really politically motivated.
So then Rosemary, and let's get back to her. So she's working behind the scenes to get him to break him out of jail, which is fascinating.
<I know. laughs>
And then arranging this with the Weather Underground.
Yes. It's amazing. I mean, your response, I can just tell with my response going through this, I thought, this story is just, first of all, she's a Zelig of the era. I mean, she rubs shoulders with every great name, but it's also just absurd. Yes, she called herself the computer. She was the safe place that housed all the information, and she was the conduit among, a very important, influential lawyer of the time, Michael Kennedy. She was working with the Weather Underground. She was working with the Black Panther. She was working with the Brotherhood of Eternal Love, which was a kind of hippie mafia going on at the time. So she was the one who was putting this all together and then ultimately creating this, I mean, utterly cinematic escape from prison. That was a huge moment in her life and really the start of the reason why we don't know her today, because once she facilitated that, she really had to erase herself from the record for her own safety. So from that moment on, Rosemary's name kind of leaves the history record.
So for you in writing the book, and I want to get into that expunging of the record, but I do want to, before we leave this part, I would like to talk about what made her such a rebel in this counterculture world and what it was. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about what she was working on, but ultimately what she accomplishes in that time.
Yes. And again, a woman born in 1935, as you said before, without a high school diploma, divorced twice. She had been a stewardess. She aged out of it because by age 30, you were pretty much kicked to the curb. There was a time where there wasn't much there for her out there after these two times divorces. She was with an abusive boyfriend. And yet the bravery was astounding, and she really pushed herself to the limits of what women could do at the time. Of course, she was still bound by the time, and some of her choices, I think, when we look now and how much she did support Leary, sometimes when he didn't deserve it, sometimes we think, I'm not sure if a woman now would have gone through what she did. But she is such an amazing renegade in her time, and that was a big reason why I was so drawn to her story and felt so compelled that I really wanted people to know about her, because they don't. And I felt that that was a crime that I wanted to rectify in writing this book.
What leads to their breakup?
Well, most partially it's Timothy Leary himself. I mean, so, prison had a real effect on him and his psyche and his resilience. And in these different contexts with the Black Panthers, it was not a good pairing. These two, acid heads and the Black Panthers, it was just not good. And he was really out of touch with what was going on in culturally, societally at the time. Leary was still very much outdated in terms of his views of these things, especially civil rights aspects. And so she started to see the limits of his mind in captivity. She saw him once they left the Black Panthers and were in Switzerland underground. He behaved just like he became a jokester. He was performing in a way that she really found distasteful. She started to really doubt some of his views about LSD being this panacea for humanity. And she was tired of playing this role of media heroine and prison escape overseer. This was starting to really take a toll on her. And ultimately, they decided to separate in 1972. And she went underground with her lover, who was basically taking care of her and watching over her at that time. It was supposed to be a trial separation. Just really a break, but Timothy Leary quickly moved on with another woman and was eventually arrested, which caused another great schism between them, forcing her even more deeply underground.
So he passes in 1996. He's 75 years old, and in the time in the late 70s into the 80s and 90s, she spends a lot of this time dodging the law. Right? I mean, she's traveling. She's going to South America. She's going to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. She is ultimately trying to run away from the law that is following her.
Absolutely. And that law was trained on her thanks to Timothy Leary, which is another thing that I was really shocking was when Timothy was arrested in Afghanistan in 1973, he actually cooperated with the federal government, and part of his cooperation was giving up Rosemary's location. And she, at that time, was living underground with her lover in Europe, mainly in Italy. And at that point, when she heard that he was turning on her, she ended up going further underground into South and Central America, where she stayed for another 3 years until finally coming back into the country, but living as under an assumed name as Sarah Woodruff in Cape Cod for 25 years. She did not come above ground. Meanwhile, Timothy cooperated, ended up getting a lighter sentence, was released, and had basically a third act as a comedian philosopher. So, but she remained underground that whole time until she eventually returned to Timothy's world in California in the 90s, which is just, again, another reason why I thought, wow, this woman is incredible to have stayed underground for that long. Because she didn't want to give up her friends is just the integrity there. You know, the integrity of a so-called criminal really intrigued me.
Susanna Cahalan's new book is The Acid Queen, The Psychedelic Life and Counterculture Rebellion. She will be part of a double author event tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook, New York, along with Ada Calhoun, talking about her book, Crush. MerrittBooks.com for more information. Susanna, a great pleasure to have you on the program this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Joe. It was a pleasure.
Be well. Again, the name of the new book is The Acid Queen, The Psychedelic Life and Counterculture Rebellion by Susanna Cahalan. Susanna will be with Ada Calhoun for the Acid Queen and Crush double author event at Merritt Bookstore, 6 to 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night. You can find out more at MerrittBooks.com. Coming up next, we'll talk to Kara Wisner as well from Merritt Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.